between me and my relatives and friends, there are insurmountable dogmatic barriers that make any statement impossible for me: ignorance, unbelief, and rigid dogma. These three must be conquered by love, wisdom, and truth. November 13, 1871. Having labored diligently at the medium's handiwork, I was at last compelled to yield to the impulse to write as a medium. I am truly indebted to you for yielding to a good feeling, for giving up crocheting, for talking, for thinking, and for sitting down to write with me. You have no idea how many idle spirits have crowded among us to hinder me from writing. These are mocking and joking spirits who are busy with useless teasing, and who think they are only there to try the patience of the inhabitants of the lower worlds by arranging all sorts of little pranks every day. They were arranged around you like dense clouds of different colors, which caused you a somewhat unpleasant feeling. With the help of your guardian spirit, we drove away the onlookers, which you immediately felt in your mind as a relief. Do not be surprised at my remark: I am neither strict nor unloving towards them. How many thousands of such incompetent, idle, slanderous and, in addition, troublemaking people are there on earth? When they die, they will become just such spirits, because each one takes with him his personality. Death alone does not make us perfect; we ourselves must become so through work. Your prayers are good for me. So far, I have not felt any temptation or desire to become an inhabitant of earth again. During the allotted time, we have carried out our work according to our task, and we have suggested good advice and counsel to many people. We have averted misfortunes. Our flight is now directed upwards. This is a real departure from the earth, which I shall soon see again from face to face. The earth is called the Valley of Weeping. It should be called a correctional institution, a spiritual hospital, where great, painful operations take place. Everything on earth has its purpose. Even the most evil has a good purpose. Such points in the universe are needed for the correction of fallen spirits. After all, there are those for whom physical suffering, cold rooms, dry bread, bitter service, illnesses, ruin, losses, humiliations are very necessary and have a spiritual healing effect. Well, here on earth there are enough such points for Gog, for pettiness, for materialism, for the disease of murmuring against God's order. Therefore, do not complain about the state of the earth, because it always leads to the healing and improvement of the spirit. The difference in positions, earthly goods and talents is intended for the purification of the spirit in question. This one as a peasant, that as a citizen, one as a worker, another as an aristocrat, etc., atones for the sins committed earlier. Every stage of culture on the earth has its reflection in the spiritual world. Many spirits owe their salutary purification to the earth and its conditions, so do not grumble about the earth and its sufferings, because this is also a logically necessary part of the whole. This is also a step to God. With these words, I leave you, people. I leave the earth so that I can follow my leading spirit with my team to the land of the sun, light, and promise. Amen. November 19, 1871. Your guides have permitted me to communicate to you my observations on instinct. By my will, penetrating through every current that separates me from you, and enveloping it in a pleasant fluid, I communicate to you my concepts. Thus my will power directed at you produces the mediumistic writing in you. I said, statement of October 31, 1871, that man, after casting off the body, as a spirit, knows certain things instinctively. He lives without human food, breathes without human lungs, thinks without human brain, moves without human legs. He experiences that he is now a being created entirely differently, and can adapt to it by the feeling or instinct that flows from this other being or quality. What is instinct? What is the meaning of this word? On earth, instinct is understood as a certain natural gift, which is more of an animal than a human quality. They say that savages live more instinctively. Well, I tell you that people have a false, very low opinion of instinct. Instinct is the manifestation of the guiding laws in the spirit, in man, as in the animal. The guiding law finds expression in some feeling corresponding to it, in some meaningful impulse, in some result, and this is called instinct. It is more than all learned science, it is a spiritual manifestation. It manifests itself in the spirit without a human brain as in man with a brain. It speaks truth by virtue of the guiding law. No one can be taught instinct, it is everyone's own accessory. For the feeling, the imprint of the laws that guide you is in you even without the material of the gross brain, without an organic body. In the animal instinct speaks more and more clearly, because firstly, its organic condition allows this natural gift to take greater effect. Secondly, because the animal lives only spiritually, but not also spiritually, since the animal has no individuality. In the individual or spirit, instinct as individual L has become its own will. The higher the creature, the more individual. The more will the instinct become, the more self-consciousness will be in the spirit, the more of the guiding law will prevail in it. Instinct in the animal is the mere expression of the guiding laws, in the spirit the growing self-consciousness, the individualization of these guiding laws. The savage lives according to instinct, because he is a fallen spirit, who has sunk to the limit of the law, to the limit of the deepest corruption, the deepest intellectual degeneration. The high spirit has transformed all its instincts into a lawful, intelligent will. In the lower spirit, instinct finds expression as self-will. Many people are the very reason why the instinct flowing from the individuality in them, one could also call it the voice of nature, degenerates. In spite of this voice, people do unnatural, unhealthy things. In man, the manifestation of the instinct of the spirit is also contributed by the organism, the manifestation of the instinct of spiritual life. This instinct, if well preserved and observed, is the best guide to health, since the organs in a completely healthy, natural state never produce harmful things. However, the organs of almost every man have been in a state of overstimulation, degeneration, and unnaturalness for generations. This is not the case with animals. They do not eat harmful foods, do not do unnatural things that are characteristic of man, such as smoking, drunkenness, and lust. No, as purely spiritual beings, they allow themselves to be guided mechanically by the laws that govern them, and therefore, naturally without any merit, they do not commit anything unnatural against their instinct. Men are spirits of many kinds. One is dominated more by the spirit, the other by instinct. In one case, instinct is a higher will, in the other, organic necessity. In the one case, truth, the expression of law, in the other, untruth, falsehood, the degeneration of law. Therefore, instinct must increase in intensity from the simple expression of the laws that mechanically guide it to its fusion with the lawful, highest will, to its becoming one. The higher the spirit, the more it and its will become one with the great laws of God, the law of nature. What a great feeling it is to be able to say, "My will is a law of nature, because I have become one with it." However, it is very difficult for the fallen, egotistical spirit to reach there, because only the humble and only the one who can sacrifice himself completely can enter through this narrow gate. If you, O spirit, are one with God, what more do you desire? But it is extremely difficult and a struggle for the blinded sinner to find the abandoned lawful path again. To persist in willfulness, in self-will, is arrogance, gog. As soon as the instinct has become will in the spirit, the battle begins, and the opposition, gog, will immediately be felt, and yet you must eradicate all willfulness and conform to the law if you want to advance towards oneness or salvation. From this oneness the fallen, sinful spirits shrink, from this we all shrink, almost unbelievable, instead of rejoicing and thanking God for the grace of rebirth, for the possibility of improvement after our profound fall. November 26, 1871. It seems to me as if I last wrote a long time ago. How far I have come since then. I see the Earth with all the other planets and satellites, like the hundreds of stars that surround the sun. Indeed, the little dot I see there is the Earth, the graveyard of my last shell. Here I am, united with my dear mother, with many relatives and friends, to live a life of instruction for my improvement. When I died, I recognized many spirits with whom I had been in contact in my previous incarnation. At such times a person remembers the older past, and the purer the spirit becomes, the more the recollection awakens in it, the more clearly the past appears before it. As a result of the fall, we are almost doomed. We have fallen into a kind of helpless childhood. Very few spirits know their origin, very few fully remember the past because of the darkening of their spiritual faculties. As a result of sin, we fall into a long spiritual sleep and blindness, from which we only slowly wake up and recover. I know that I once made a mistake and, along with many others, I fell into sin. Freed from the obscuring, intoxicating brain, I see more clearly into the past and the future. My feelings unfold, I can think and reason better. Following the revolving movement of the high spirit that leads us, I have reached the sixth sphere of the fourth atmospheric ring with many other spirits. Despite this, I can speak freely with you, and from there I can send my melodious fluid to you through all currents. Movement is everything. You go to the right or to the left, you write, you think, you feel, all movement. You think righteously, you nourish good feelings, this is lawful movement. On the other hand, if you feel unjustly, if you think evil, this is a contrary movement, which hinders the progress of your spirit. There are therefore two kinds of movement, the lawful, forward movement, and the unlawful, backward movement. And instead of saying going back, I could have used this word, fall or downfall, and when the spirit has reached the deepest point of its fall, it remains stationary, that is, in the same state, until it begins a progressive movement. The lawful movement appears to me as purification, glorification, the contrary movement as thickening and darkening. If you die with the consciousness of continuing to live, nothing here frightens you, you are not surprised by anything. You feel at home. God grant that spiritualism may spread throughout the earth, so that everyone may believe in God, who gives life to the spirit, who is immortal. Chapter 23. Fourth Atmospheric Ring, Seventh Sphere. The influence and protection of Venus, acting on the will, preparatory stage for reincarnation. The spirit of fear and Kbeda-Beda, as a result of the sun's flow into the earth's atmosphere and its outflow from the earth, vapors are created, which, containing light animals and tiny beings, form the seeds of microcosmic worlds, which follow the law of gravity and rotation. This forms seven atmospheric rings in a spiral from the earth to the sun. In the vapors there are vesicles or cells, which contain tiny beings or light animals, but also mirror images of the Earth's images. These atmospheric rings are subject to the law of force and exponentiation, therefore, the rings closest to the Earth are the most material, and the rings furthest from it are the most spiritual. An atom of diamond remains a diamond, thus these Earth atoms remain similar to the Earth. That is why these rings contain Earth, air, fire, water in a proportion corresponding to the distance from the Earth. The spirits also have the most diverse neuro-spiritual shells according to their degree. When the spirit becomes perfect, it changes these shells. This is a continuous death and rebirth. If in a certain sphere the conditions for building a house are present, if the spirits are at such a stage that they need a home and tools, then these things are required, because the compelling conditions make them create. What the spirits need for learning is given to them. Most inventions are first made by the spirits in the atmosphere and only then brought to the earth. In the atmospheric rings is the school of what man must learn on earth. In this sphere there are three classes, three spiritual ranks. The first class prepares itself for entering the fifth atmospheric ring. These spirits exchange their spiritual bodies and become a degree purer. The second class prepares itself for reincarnation. The third class contains the spirits who save from suffering, who help the dying and take them to their atmosphere. Beautiful admonitions come to us from this spiritual sphere, some of which we will share here. The advice of the spirit of evil, I do not deserve to love God in good times. Love God even when He refuses your request. You often think that God is very far from you, but that is when He is often the closest to you. Despondency is not worthy of a person who calls on God. Even in such bad times, believe in God's love. Use your short time on earth for eternity. Give up willingly and you will gain everything, contentment. It is better to trust in God than to doubt Him. It is better to accept unpleasant things with composure than to be indignant about them. We must bear what is destined for us, even if we do not want to. Every sad thing has its good side, which God alone knows. Whenever you feel unhappy and dissatisfied, think that you have voluntarily accepted this incarnation with all its trials, bow down and do not grumble. It is only that misfortune that harms your soul. People often consider something that is misfortune to be happiness. A life according to God's will is worth more than devout prayer. Some people believe that prayer consists in reciting a certain number of litanies, Our Fathers, or Psalms. Reading prayer books and approaching God with unfeeling piety is not heartfelt piety. The trials and sufferings that you have to endure are your own doing. Nothing can be so easily grieved as love, and it is precisely this that should not be discouraged. It is truly painful to be hurt by someone you love. An injury that comes from an indifferent person only annoys you. Love must atone and forget. Forgetting and forgiving create peace. Many forgive but do not forget. This is half-hearted work and does not create true peace. Time and space are subjective concepts. They appear to everyone differently, and how differently to spirits than to men. An earthly life is but a single breath in eternity. Misfortune and suffering make us brave and participative. The unfortunate face death bravely, the fortunate fear it. The luxuriantly growing bush of sin produces both in the great and the small, in wealth and in poverty, but its judgment is stricter. It is more harmful to the great and the rich than to the small and the poor. The theft of the hungry is a lesser evil than that of the well-fed. The immorality of the uneducated is a lesser sin than that of the educated. John Huss says, "The way to God is free, no barrier or dogma hinders it. The way to God is simple, without pomp, music, or song. God is the Father of us all, everyone is His child, everyone is born equally, called to the same happiness. Only sin makes spirits unequal. God's church is Himself. All religions will become one in Him. Everyone is His and He is everyone's. God does not belong to one church or another, to one priest or another, to one man or another, but to Him who does His will. God is the supreme wisdom and freedom, and the supreme law is love." Chapter 24, Fifth Atmospheric Ring, First Sphere. Under the influence of Jupiter and Taurus. Thought world and intellect, discoveries. Hera, the first sphere of this ring is inhabited by spirits in whom intellect predominates, and who influence man's thinking. The spirits here study mainly the effects of light and the power of sound. They are representatives of truth and destroyers of false views. From the spheres of this ring, spirits can travel to other planets and produce means of transport between the planets and this sphere. From this sphere a man will be born on Earth who will establish direct contact between spirits and men. Another will discover a reliable airship. We will give the statements of two spirits from this sphere. Exhortations and encouragements to all who work in the new revelations. Spirit Hubertus, 1870. Trust in God. Even in your most difficult days, trust only in Him. Your work is difficult in this age of materialism and impatience. Follow the example of Christ in self-denial. All of you who claim to be spiritualists, be good and faithful followers of Christ. Be spirits, fight against your senses, do good. Your best friends will abandon you because of spiritualism. The churches will excommunicate you. Do not be ashamed of your faith. Confess it openly, as the apostles did. There is a great difference between the true, spiritual interpretation of spiritualism and its false interpretation. True spiritualism serves the highest goals of truth, love of God and neighbor. What should this love be? Many seek it in permissiveness, in instability. For example, a spiritualist among spiritual thinkers today is an orthodox among church representatives tomorrow and a doubter among materialists the day after tomorrow. The unstable person finds everything beautiful and good at that moment just as it is presented to him. He does not dare to express his convictions, does not want to offend anyone with his contradictions, and calls this love of neighbor. He criticizes gently, but he has no definite opinion and lacks a deep knowledge of the truth. Then there are others who limit love of neighbor to only one denomination or one nation, and are ready to sacrifice, but only for their fellow believers. If the person in question is a Christian, he is too strict towards those of other religions without remorse. Condemnation is on his lips at every moment. The love of neighbor that extends only to one's own church and nation is not the love taught by Christ, who said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." The love that dares not speak the truth is not true love. Love requires not only the heart, but also the intellect. If someone asks you for advice, let the intellect speak, even if your heart bleeds for it. If we keep the main goal in mind, true love often causes pain. Severe judgment is unjust, but even forgiveness should remain within the limits of wisdom. Let your love be perfect, just, and sincere. Remove all hesitation from love. Do not be afraid to cause pain, but speak the truth boldly for the glory of God and the holy cause of love for which you are fighting. But beware of partiality, for it will make you weak-minded. Do not fear your enemies, leave them to God. The spirit of goodness, it urges the medium to exercise love for the poor and the sick. The power of healing is a gift from God. God endows those with spiritual gifts who seek them in a spirit of simplicity and faith. These gifts cannot be acquired by learning from books. A pure heart and a firm faith will attain a deeper knowledge of divine things and powers than the arrogant scholar whose mind is full of works and treatises. The most sublime is the love of God, and this is precisely what science does not investigate. I too have been called a scholar by men, and what a disappointment I have been after my death. How much I have learned since then, and I have fully realized that science that does not originate with God is vain, worthless, and incomplete. People doubt the most sublime truths, God, immortality, communication with spirits. Dear child, never doubt, exercise your healing power with faith and love for God, who performed more wonderful healings than Christ and his apostles. Did they learn to heal? No. But they had almighty faith and love. The spirit is stronger than all flesh and body, it only needs to be called to work. Let the grace of God grow in you, and his power will be manifested in you and through you. Chapter 25, Fifth Atmospheric Ring, Second Sphere. Discovering travelers, influenced by Venus and Cancer, brings strength and endurance. Hera, Columbus was born on Earth from this sphere. The spirits here love to travel, they explore the Earth, the spheres, and the planets. Two spirits from this sphere will incarnate on Earth as explorers of new territories. One will discover the connection with the North Pole through the Gulf Stream, the other will discover a great oasis in Central Africa, a beautiful fertile country inhabited by a white tribe that worships Osiris and Isis. These discoveries will take place at the beginning of the next millennium. All those who have a great inclination for voyages of discovery and are ready to do so even at the risk of their lives will come from this sphere. Let two spirits from this sphere speak, Nanda, a poetic and pious nature, and Phrygis, a noble and open-hearted realist. These two good friends describe a journey they made from this sphere to Venus. Nanda, dear medium. Phrygis and I made a great journey to Venus. This was a very peculiar way of traveling, so different from earthly concepts that I can't find words to describe it. However, Phrygis will find the expressions, for he is a real scientific lexicon and his knowledge has increased since he cast off his body. I rather live for the ideal, for the beautiful. Phrygis, well, I'll start. We rise into the ether of the air towards Venus. How shall I describe the ascent? Surely I can only say that this is a law of nature. Walking straight on the ever-rotating Earth is also a law of nature. man just goes, we ascend. Let me first tell you a little about myself. Only after casting off the human body did I truly feel like I am. I got to know myself and my past. I reflected on my life and the different roles I played. If the artist plays Don Carlos, then that evening he is the Spanish Don, and it is not possible to notice in this role that he was a government counselor the previous evening. The artist is a different individual in each role and only becomes himself again when the performance is over. It became clear to me, too, after I had taken off my body, that I had already played many roles on Earth. After I left the earthly stage and took off my costume, I could only review the role I had played. Not all spirits can remember in the same way. However, I remembered all my previous incarnations. I visited the countries, the places where I had once lived and recognized the people and spirits with whom I had come into contact. The spirit has this recollection, but man must not have it, lest he fall out of his role. And how often it happens that the embodied spirit unconsciously remembers its former role and falls out of the role it is currently playing. But let us return to our journey. The floating on in the terrestrial atmosphere went splendidly. Freed from the human lungs, we freely inhaled the ether. With the help of our own law of gravity and the floating and rotating power inherent in us, we moved in a spiral circle on the road leading to Venus. Passing through the elliptical orbit of the Earth, we encountered various fluidic currents. Here we had to really throw away all our knowledge of the force of gravity, since the spirit is not a completely bodiless and material being. We are alive and must have something for life and movement. We absorbed the necessary life elements from the fluids and equipped our spiritual bodies for the journey. Now it was time for the most beautiful points. We saw the Earth only as a small star below us. Nander always wanted to stop. He could not get enough of his amazement, but I was very impatient and pushed on. Nander, ah, how glorious the splendor of colors was in the atmosphere. Those purple, golden, yellow and pink, then the dark blue bands and the million stars that turned into worlds as we ascended towards it. It was a glimpse into the greatness of God, which captivates us with the deepest adoration. How small we seem before ourselves at such times. Joy broke out within me and I cried out, how mighty and great are you, my God and Creator. Phrygis, yes, I noticed Nanda's emotion. I heard his joyful song. He admired the Creator in his creations, and I in his laws. We roamed through entire layers of rotating soul elements. Not all spirits see alike. I noticed that spirits see better or worse according to their inner meaning, thus I saw some that Nanda did not see and vice versa. I admired the myriads of light animals, monads, molecules that circulate in the atmosphere and create life around the atoms. Nanda, and the magnificent flowers, which live and move, as if made of fluid, which are transparent, exude a sublime fragrance, and delight in the splendor of heavenly colors. Then the beautiful and good spirits, whom we met, who traverse the atmosphere. Phrygis, oh, the poet. I examined the whole thing more from a scientific point of view. The constant attraction and repulsion of the tiny circulation of fluids, and the merging of atmospheres into each other, is an extremely interesting spectacle. Venus, just like the Earth, is surrounded by 7 atmospheric rings, which we had to penetrate before we could reach the planet itself. The conditions on Venus, life in general, are much more sophisticated and civilized than on Earth. Its inhabitants belong to a much more beautiful race of men, their religion being generally pure faith in God, but divided into denominations. Nature is majestic, fresh, and flourishing. I admired many. Yes, this was also confirmed by UFO contact persons more than 100 years later. Link for example this one. Plants and trees that I have not seen on Earth. Air navigation is a perfect means of transport, and there are also air pressured orbits. On Venus, steam is not generally used as the power and means of movement, which was common on the physical plane of Earth when this was received, but the pressure of air and sound. There are beautiful cities on Venus. A flawless and majestic style is visible in all their buildings. The gardens are especially beautiful. Science also seems to be much more advanced than on Earth, especially astronomy. Belief in God and the immortality of the spirit, and communication with the spirit world, are established facts there. A man on Venus who does not believe in these things would be considered a savage.